Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Good people, we have been involved in a series of lessons on the Glorious Church. In this series, we have identified from the Old Testament Scripture what it is that the prophets of old had prophesied, had foretold concerning the coming of the kingdom of God. And then we've also identified how that these things not only were foretold, but how that they find their existence in the New Testament, how that they are fulfilled by our God throughout the New Testament period of what is revealed for us. Then in like figure, we have looked at the promises of Christ, that Jesus promised that He would build His church and that there would nothing stand in its way of being established, and not only of it being established, but good people, in like figure, that church would continue to exist throughout the ages, even until the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Concerning that church, we come to an understanding that after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the time was now right for the establishment of the church, but then in like figure, the world stood ready for the Lord's church to be established. When we think in regard to this, we come to an understanding that our God had spent eternity preparing for the coming of His kingdom. And in fact, the Old Testament reveals, as well as what is identified in the New Testament, that the people of old did not understand concerning the coming of the church as well as the Messiah. But in this age, all of these things have been revealed concerning God's eternal purpose for the establishment concerning His kingdom. Because people, we also understand that Jesus had spent His life doing preparatory work for the coming, for the establishing of His church. In regard to all of this, we understand that Jesus had stated in the book of Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, "Many standing here this day will not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God coming with power." Good people, today you and I can reflect upon these words and to understand that certainly there were individuals who lived during the lifetime that Jesus was speaking who were going to be able to identify, who were going to be able to witness the Lord's church coming with power. Whenever we look into the book of Acts chapter 2 verses 1 through 41, the Bible identifies for us that our God's kingdom, the Lord's church, indeed began with power. Today I ask, what do we see in regard to the Lord's church being established with power? Good people, first and foremost, we need to understand that the Lord's church was established by the power of the Holy Spirit. What do we learn in regard to the giving of the Holy Spirit and the operation of the Holy Spirit? Good people, we come to an understanding that the apostles were called by our God. During the course of Jesus' life upon the face of the earth, during the course of His personal ministry here, He called 12 men to apostleship. He personally selected these men, and these men were eyewitnesses concerning our Lord, and they were there with Him throughout the course of His life, and He was training and educating these individuals for this great charge that would be left unto them. In fact, we learn of this first off in the book of Matthew chapter 10 verses 5 through 15, where Jesus had given them a limited commission, that these individuals were commissioned to go out unto the household of Israel and to proclaim that salvation was going to be brought forth through the Messiah, and ultimately certainly that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. But it did not end there. Good people, this limited commission was preparatory work for yet a greater commission. What was that? We learn of this in the book of Matthew chapter 28 verses 18 through 20, where Jesus had died at Calvary's cross and now ascended into heaven. And we learn in the context of this is that Jesus appeared. He appeared in Galilee again unto the apostles, and there He told them, "All power and authority is given to Me in heaven and on earth." And he told these individuals, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world and in the age." Good people, He commissioned these men to go forth with the proclamation of the gospel. But He also told these men, He gave them promises. In fact, we learn of this in the book of John chapter 14, verse 1 through 4. Jesus said, having explained to these individuals that He was getting ready to depart from them, their hearts were grieved, and He told them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, for if you believe in God, believe also in Me, for in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and whither I go, go, you know, in the way, you know, good people, he wanted these individuals not to be grieved in his departure, but yet to understand that his going away was for their benefit and for their blessing. He also told them in the context of John chapter 14 that I'm not going to leave you as orphans. He was not going to leave them to fend for themselves. He was not going to leave these individuals to remember the life that he had lived, that he had demonstrated, the lessons that he had taught before them. He was not going to have them recall these things upon themselves. Why do I state that? According to what we find in John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus said, "The Comforter will come in my name, and he will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things I have said or done." Good people, understand in the context of this is that the world says that the Holy Spirit is given unto all of mankind. But good people, in the context here of John chapter 14, verse 26, as well as John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, the promise of the Holy Spirit was given to the apostles, and he was given to bring all things to their remembrance, to their recollection at Pentecost and beyond. They were given instructions by our Lord and Savior, as is recorded in the book of Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, that they were to tarry or to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, whether they would be endued with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then would come upon them. Good people, what do we find in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 9? We understand that these individuals were gathered together. The apostles were assembled together. Where? In Jerusalem. What were they waiting upon? Good people, they were waiting upon the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came upon these individuals, the apostles. And in fact, in the book of Acts chapter 2, we understand that when the Holy Spirit came upon them, He came upon them as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared upon them divided tongues as fire, and let upon each and every one of these men. Good people, these men were filled with the Holy Spirit. And in being filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible also identifies for us that these men were guided by the Holy Spirit in the same manner as what the Holy Spirit had guided the men of old. Holy men of God spake as they were moved or carried about by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit there, the day of Pentecost, enabled these men to speak in different tongues. That is not an unknown tongue, but rather in a language that they did not know, in a language that they themselves had not studied. They were Galileans. And in fact, the crowd who were there that day, they were so impressed that each one heard him speak in his own language. How were they able to do that, good people? They were able to accomplish these things because they were led and guided by the Holy Spirit. The Lord's church had a very powerful beginning because it was began by the power of the Holy Spirit. But in like figure, we also understand from the context of Acts chapter 2, there was powerful preaching that day. Peter, as well as the other apostles, delivered very powerful and positive sermons. In the context, what is it that he preached? Good people, when we look at Peter's lesson, because that's the one that is presented for us, we understand that he preached and taught that Jesus Christ had been attested by God, that he had been approved by God. And the way in which he had been approved by God is found in verse 22. And he says that whenever Jesus of Nazareth came unto you, good people, he was attested because he worked miracles, wonders, and signs in the presence of all of these people. And then Peter moved on from that point, and he says, you did not pay attention to the miracles, wonders, and signs that Jehovah had demonstrated through his Son, Jesus Christ. Why is that, good people? Because they rejected Jesus. They rejected our Lord. And Peter went on to explain concerning this rejection. It does not matter that you have rejected him, because God has now exalted him. He is now seated on the throne of David. And good people, in being seated on the throne of David, he is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And in fact, he went on to explain. He says, this Jesus whom you crucified. He made it very personal that these individuals there that day were present whenever our Lord and Savior was crucified. And good people, in the context of what we know concerning the crucifixion and those individuals who would have been there whenever Jesus Christ died at Calvary's cross, they also would have been, a large number, if not all of them, would have been that number whenever presented before them by Pilate. Whom do you want to crucify? And they cried out, crucify him, meaning crucify Jesus. Peter says that day, This Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. Good people, these people had crucified the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And based out of what it is that Peter had taught before them, we learn that there was a very powerful response that day. In the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 says, "And they became pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved?" Why did they say this? Good people, they understood that they had been separated from God because of the sin that they had committed in crucifying Jesus by rejecting heaven's plan for the redemption of mankind and his relationship with God. And then they were given instruction by Peter in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter said, "Repent, every one of you." Was repentance necessary for salvation in the day in which the church began? Absolutely it was. And what did it mean to repent? Jesus said in the book of Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 as well as verse 5, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you will likewise perish." Good people, what does it mean to repent? Repentance means to turn away from. And these individuals needed to turn away from the idea that they had rejected our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in this turning away, they needed to accept Him as heaven's plan for the redemption of man. And Peter then went on to say, "Repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins." Good people, why were these people being baptized there at Pentecost? They were being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Not because they had the forgiveness of sins, but in order to receive the forgiveness of sin. And the Bible tells us that day that there was a very powerful response. And the fact that about 3,000 souls were added that day to the kingdom of God. The day that the Lord's church began, it began in a very powerful and positive way. The time was right and the world stood ready. And that day, good people, we understand that the Lord's church began with the Holy Spirit, began with very powerful and positive preaching concerning the kingdom and salvation in Christ. And it resulted in a very powerful response where about 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel. This morning we don't have 3,000 souls here. And a large number of our group that is here are members of the Lord's church, and to that we are most grateful, amen. But we do have those who are amongst us who are not members of the Lord's church, who have never named Christ to be the Son of the living God, who have never submitted themselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And today we want to encourage you and to help you to understand that certainly Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of the living God, that in His death He made a means wherein that man can have salvation. In His death and in His resurrection, the Lord's church, His church, was established. And it's that church that can live faithful to Him. And it's that church that will be delivered back into our God in the day of judgment, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. And therefore it's essential that you are a part of the kingdom of God, the church. If you're here today and you're not a member of the Lord's church, we want you to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God. We beg and we plead unto you to submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do that, the Lord will add you to His church. We will welcome you with open arms. And we will walk hand in hand to help each other as we live faithful to our God in His kingdom.